All right, Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, I wanted to read more of the story, but I'm going to just limit it to these 11 verses, and honestly, we're not going to look at the first 11 verses, we're just going to look at verse 11, but I want to get you started by reading those first 11 verses. Pay very close attention. I know that familiarity is a struggle, because, you know, I can even read through 11 verses and you say, Pastor, we read through those every, you know, Christmas. My family reads through them 10 times through the holidays, you know, and we go through all this and it becomes so familiar that you don't even think through it. But I'll tell you what, one of the things that I look forward to about the Christmas season is going through and just finding some little nuggets of truth, probably not that I never heard before, because I've heard them. And you know, when you grow up in church and you grow up in a Christian home, there's a lot of things that are expounded every Christmas. And you look into this and there's only so much a part of the Christmas story. But I think that if you put your heart to it, God, would you show something? There can always be something that you didn't maybe think of in a certain way, or just something maybe that's refreshing that you can bring to your mind. And so this morning, I really want to take a verse and I want to share some good truths from this verse. And I hope it will be a blessing. I hope it will be a help to you. But before we do this one verse, let's read the first 10 verses before we get to that 11th verse in which we want to hone in on this morning. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Father, thank you for this wonderful story that we just read the first part of. God, I pray that it would be a blessing to people that are out there this morning. God, in every different circumstance, in every different family, in every different personality, in every different culture and background, God, I pray that the message of the nativity would be a blessing to all of us this morning. God, I pray that you would give us a heart and an attitude, a spirit, a mind, attention span, Lord, this morning, that we could hear your good truth and that it would impact us in our lives today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. First, I want to draw your attention to the focus of the verse. And you say, what is that? Well, it's a Savior. A Savior. We see this word in the middle of the verse. A Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Jesus was a Savior. What is a Savior? We connect the word Savior to this story. Jesus was the Savior. We don't typically use the word Savior in many other contexts, but what is a Savior? In all sense of the word, a Savior is a deliverer. Someone who delivers. Rescues. It's someone that possesses the ability to deliver. They have the ability to rescue. Have you ever been saved from something? And again, I'm talking in the very general sense of the word. Have you been saved from something? Maybe you have been saved from something that was dangerous. You've been in a circumstance that something was about to happen, something was about to go off, and at the last moment, something saved you from falling or protected you from an accident, saved you from that wild animal or whatever it was that you were about to, your safety and protection was just about ready to end, and then you were saved from something. I grew up hunting with my dad, and I have fond memories of that. And I don't have that opportunity a whole lot with my dad. And I will say that's one of the things that I would go back to. If I'd go back to a time with my dad, that's just something that we always did. And I cherish that opportunity that dad did. We might have been in a different place, but we were together. It's something that we did, and we hardly let anything get in the way of that. Now, of course, we always, you know, we put the things of the Lord first, but we enjoy doing that. And I remember there was a time in my life, it's hard to happen in Pennsylvania. If you know anything about hunting in Pennsylvania, you don't really have to worry too often about getting lost because it's different out here. There's, you know, you don't have to walk when you get to a road. You don't have to walk too far. And you pretty much know where you're hunting these days. And so getting lost is usually the issue here. But things were way different back in Wyoming and where I went hunting. And we'd go up for a week. We'd go up elk hunting. And my girls have asked the question, you went up for a whole week and didn't take a shower? Well, there's lots of stories that we can tell about that. But it was a time still that was it was a tremendous opportunity to go up. And we would go up for a week at a time. And we would, for many of you, it was, you know, in the backwoods, it was something that was something that maybe some of you wouldn't think a civilized person should be a part of. But we would go do that. And And we would go out there and we would, at night, we would tell stories of the day and all the things that we were able to accomplish. But the thing about hunting out there was so different than Wyoming or Pennsylvania was is that you could go into a mountain range that you could walk for days and weeks and you might not ever see anybody else. You might not encounter anything. You could go out. I mean, you don't measure the land in acreage. You measure it in square miles. I mean, it's vast, and it's not in the tens, it's not in the hundreds, and it's really not even in the thousands. We're talking about millions of acres out there that you have available in these areas. And so we would go out and we would hunt elk, and we would be out there, and you would just hit all these places. You could walk. You know, you don't hunt out there in tree stands. You walk and you do things on foot that way. When we would cover, Dad and I would be out at the top of the mountain at daybreak already, hiking, you know, a long period of time. And we would, you know, we'd have our food and drink with us. And we might not be in until an hour after dark, you know, and maybe even later than that if we had to drive back to the camp, you know, from where we parked. And it was a vast area. Well, what came with that was the scary part of not just the animals that were out there that are different from Pennsylvania, but also the vastness of the land. You could easily get lost. There wasn't all the roads that we have out, you know, here, and you know, some of the places where we hunt out here, you can hear the cars going by, you know, so you can't get too far away. But out there, you'd be out there in the middle of nowhere. I specifically remember a time where Dad and I and another gentleman from our church, we went out hunting up there, and we had we weren't covering, you know, a little patch of woods. We were covering the whole side of a mountain. And we started off that morning, and it was agreed that my dad, I forget if my dad was supposed to be on top or bottom, but we were going on the side of a slope. Dad, I'm just going to, for sake of illustration, I'm just going to pick the top. Dad was supposed to be on the top, and I was given the middle, and this other guy that went to our church, a good man, he was on the bottom. And we were going to walk this whole ridge. Again, we're talking about a big ridge, a place that you didn't just shout and, you know, you'd hear each other. This was something vast and big. And so we went out there that day, and we were going to walk it. It wasn't a drive. It was just we were going to walk so that there were things out there, animals out there, and that we would see those. And so we took off, and I wasn't too afraid of it, but we got going that day, and I had typically been with my dad. I was probably in high school, and we went, and I was getting to be very unfamiliar with the area in which we were entering. We just kept walking, and we walked, and we walked. I walked by myself, and walked, and walked, and walked. And although I knew geographically where I was lost from this man and my dad. I was lost. And I was scared. And I will tell you, I don't know that I've ever been more scared in my life, because I couldn't find them. I couldn't locate them. And I was starting to have those thoughts of life, you know, and ending and everything. I thought I was going to die out there. And I went, and I remember that time that I was there, and I was terrified. I'm just being honest with you. I've never been that scared in my life. I was terrified. And I was standing there, and I was this close, even though that no one would hear, I was this close from just at the top of my lungs shouting, you know, help, or something like that, because I didn't know where anybody was. And I was right there, and I was ready, and somehow, I think it was the Lord, somehow I looked across this huge valley that had come down on that thing, and I saw clear across on the other side an orange spot or something like that. And I don't know if I picked up my rifle and looked through that or what I had, but I was somehow, whether it was that or eyesight, I was somehow able to detect that there was, I think it was that other guy, I think I saw him on the ridge way, way up there sitting on a rock overlooking this big valley. You don't know the comfort that came to my heart when I saw that guy. And it wasn't long later that I was there and I saw my dad way down at the bottom. And I was a little higher than what I was supposed to be, but I actually was okay, you know, in my spot. But it was at that time that, although they didn't do anything, I recognized deliverance. and it was something that I was so grateful for. It was like, okay, I'm really not going to die. I'm okay. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I've been relieved of this burden that was there. And I was so thankful. And it didn't take long. And I think that guy, he probably was watching me. He could see me. And anyways, we got together and it was done. End of story. Have you ever been delivered? Now, again, your story is probably going to be completely different than that because you've probably never been doing that. Or maybe if you have, you might not have gotten lost or whatever. But maybe there have been times in your life where you have been delivered from something. Maybe it was a financial debt that you owed and you didn't know how you were going to be relieved and you didn't know where it was going to come from and you were just about ready and maybe you already did. Shout out to the Lord, help. And God miraculously delivered you from that. Folks, can I tell you that the baby in the manger is the deliverer? It's who he is. It's what he came to do. He came to deliver you. That's his purpose. He came to deliver people. To deliver them from all kinds of things. This is the focus of this verse. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Did you catch that? A Savior. A Deliverer. Who is he? Which is Christ the Lord. Jesus was a Savior. You have been delivered from something in your life. Jesus had the ability to save a sinner. Jesus had the ability to save a sinner. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 7, if you would, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Here we see that within Jesus, within his person, within his character and who he was, Jesus was something. It wasn't just a characteristic. It just wasn't an attribute that he had. It wasn't just something that he did on the side. For me, I'm a hunter on the side. Okay? I am a Christian in who I am. I have been changed from the inside out. It flows through my blood and veins. It is who I am. I am a Christian, by the way. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you are a Christian. And this Christian right here does certain things. You do certain things. Can I tell you something? Jesus didn't just do things like deliver and save people. He was the deliverer, and he had the ability to do it. He had the ability to save a sinner. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, wherefore he is able, and there's the word, it has the ability. In him was the potential energy inside to be something. He was, in effect, able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Can I tell you something? Everybody listen to this. Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, came unto us that day, long ago, as a deliverer. It was who he was, and he had inside of him the ability to deliver every sinner from every sin that he would ever, ever commit. There was that potential there. He was the deliverer. And folks, I want to tell you, it was a sure hope. It's a sure hope that every one of us can have, that he, Jesus, has the ability to save you from your sin. Away from it. You look at your sin in your life and you say, I don't know that I can ever be delivered from this sin. That is to deny who Jesus Christ is. He can deliver you, my friend. He can deliver you. Whether you are a Christian in your sin, whether you are a sinner and unsaved in your sin, Jesus was the babe in the manger that came that day to deliver you. And this is what the angels shared. For unto you has come a deliverer. Somebody to deliver you. You say, Pastor, you don't understand the struggles that I have. I don't, but Jesus does, and he came to save you from them. And he did. If you're saved, he did save you from them. He's already freed you from it. we have a sure hope that he came to do this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. You can quickly turn to that verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Here we have a faithful saying that is given to us. That means it's something, it's a saying that we can put our faith and trust in. We don't have to worry about it. It is the truth. It's the scriptures. And here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is something that you can hang your hat on. This is something that you can hang your life on. And he says, Paul says to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Did you catch that? This is worthy of all acceptation. Everybody can accept this. This is the truth. This is a faithful saying. And what is it? That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. I want to tell you something. He has the potential, and there is a sure hope that a person has that he can save them from their sin. And I'll tell you, there is not just a hope, there is sure deliverance from it. He has come and he has delivered you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you the first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for your sins. And here's the surety of it. According to what? The Scriptures. God in His Word tells us that He came to seek and to save sinners. He came to deliver you from your sin. And He accomplished it on the cross. It is accomplished. He said, it is finished. It is finished. It's done. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is speaking. Luke chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to tell you folks that Jesus came to save sinners, and it is possible for any sinner to be saved. It is possible for any sinner to be delivered from their sin and turn to Jesus Christ. I don't know who you are here this morning, but maybe you're here and maybe you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. For we all have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. God's Word says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of that sin is death. We're earning death every day as we sin. The wages of sin is death. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, there's good news as you're here this morning, maybe without Christ. Maybe you've never taken the step of faith to trust in Him. My friends, can I tell you something? That salvation is not something that transpires over a period of time that you come to a knowledge of something. It is an event in life where one takes what they thought was true and understand that it's not and looks at the right way and gives himself to that right way and says, listen, I am putting my faith and trust in the truth and not in what I thought it to be. And there's a moment in time where we place our faith in that truth, and that's the moment of salvation. Can I tell you, Jesus came to save you. And my question to you is, have you ever taken a moment of time to stop and make that transition and say, wait a second, I'm no longer trusting in my way, I'm no longer trusting in my good works, but I'm putting my faith and trust in the one that came to deliver me, the only one that has the ability to save an individual soul and reconcile a sinner to an almighty and holy God. That was Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time? If you've never done that, I want to tell you that you need Jesus. You need to trust in Him. And if there's anybody here that's never done that, I or somebody else, we would love to take a Bible and show you how you can do that. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. What Jesus Christ did on the cross was the element, the thing that paid for you, nothing else, period. Jesus came. Christmas is all about Him coming to deliver you from your sin. And it is sure. But can I tell you, there's also a reality of a Savior of saints as well. Do you know that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, but he also came to save and deliver you, Christian? Maybe you say, Pastor, I have trusted in Jesus Christ. I have placed my faith in him. I am a Christian. I am on my way to heaven. But you find yourself still feeling like you are under bondage of those sins that you used to commit, and you say, I still commit them. You say, Pastor, I'm a man and I don't know how to free my mind of all those wicked thoughts that I have and to keep my eyes free and clear from those things that I have a habit of looking on. Can I tell you, man that is out here, you can be delivered today because the Savior came to seek you out and to save you and deliver you from that. You don't have to be under bondage from those things. There's so many Christians that live today that they feel beat up and they just said, I guess I just have to succumb to this. I am a person that looks at this. I am a person that thinks about this. I am a person that's defeated with this. You have a habit and you say, it's just my lot in life. I can't get over it. I can't get victory. I want to tell you something. Then you don't believe in a Savior. The Savior came to take that away, to deliver you so that you could be free and say, no longer is it there. The Savior came to deliver you, lady, that you sit there and you struggle with your emotions, you struggle with your fears, you struggle with your thoughts, you struggle with the worries that come in life. I want to tell you something. Jesus came, lady, to save you from that. You don't have to live a life every day worrying about the things that go on in your life and fretting and having false guilt that condemns you every day and puts you to the cross. Jesus already went to the cross. Jesus already freed you, and he came in the manger to free you from that. My feeling is that there are many Christians that are just like the unsaved that have put the shackles back on them and just have come to reality in life. But I can't get victory over this sin. I can't get freed from it. I want to tell you good news. For unto you is born this day a Savior. For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That word able is not your ability, it's his ability. He is the one that is able to deliver you. He can deliver your husband. He can deliver your wife. He can deliver your son and your daughter. He can deliver your uncle and aunt. He can deliver you. He can deliver. Why? Because he's the Savior. And there is a sure hope and there is a sure deliverance. Why? Because he is the Savior. But can I tell you something tied right into this? We see that this wasn't just a Savior for a single person or for individual certain types of people. It says, for unto you. We can hear the first point of this message and say, well, that's good for everybody else, but not me. But not me, Pastor. I've already tried it. I've done it. I've already done the reform. I've already done the this. I've already done the that. I've tried everything under the book, and there's nothing. There's no hope for me, Pastor. I want to tell you something. That's not believing in the Savior. That's to deny the story of Christmas. That's to deny everything that we get up and sing all these songs for. Jesus is born to save you. And at Christmas time, we sing about the freedom. We ring the bells of freedom. Do you have freedom today? He says, for unto you. Jesus is born unto you. This is for all people. That was for the shepherds as well as the wise men. That was Mary as well as Joseph. And I say Mary, yes, Mary needed a Savior as well. That's contrary to what some religions teach. But I want to tell you something. Mary needed a Savior, and she acknowledged it. She needed a Savior, and that was Jesus. Jesus was born for those of you who are so blessed to be called Americans. Praise the Lord, Americans. He came for you. But I tell you what, he was also born for those who are called Chinese and Indian and Swede. Jesus was born for those of you who have always, that may be some of you, who have had plenty of resources at home and have never suffered very much want or lack. But you know what? He was also born for those who are considered poor, who are considered needy, who are considered without even a place to call home. Jesus was born for those of you who have been blessed with much talent and ability, and we praise the Lord for what he has given to us, but he was also born for those who are simple, plain, and without much worldly skill. Jesus was born for those of you who are good people, but Jesus was born for the sinner, the murderer, the thief, and the liar. Jesus was born, as it says here, unto you. I'll tell you something. That's good news, because there are no exceptions. There are some people in life that like to fill themselves as an exception. They fill themselves as somebody that is that everything has been acted upon. They're a victim. But the fact of the matter is Jesus has already come to save you. There are no exceptions. You personally, for God so loved the world, that's us, unto you who are a misfit, unto you who are poor, unto you who have no skill, unto you who is shy, unto you who gets in trouble, unto you who has no friends, unto you who has no miraculous story of conversion, I tell you, unto you who seems to have no place in the church, for unto you is born this day a Savior, unto you, and whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We read in Revelation 22. He prefaces that phrase by saying, come. Come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Many say that only the rich can afford happiness and blessing. They would say that others cannot afford God. Many say that only the gifted and the talented will be prosperous and blessed. They say that others don't have enough to offer to God. Many say that only the good and the upright can see God. They would say that others cannot come to him, but God says unto you, whosoever will may come. For unto you is born this day. You know that Jesus was born a Savior? He did not become a Savior. Jesus did not grow into a Savior. He was not born a carpenter's son and become a Savior. He was born a carpenter's son and he was born a Savior. Jesus was always a Savior. He was a Savior from the beginning. In the beginning, he was always a Savior. You know, everything that Jesus is today, he always was from the very beginning, which had no beginning. He always has been. We read in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. But notice this passage says, but this day a Savior. What is the significance of this day? This day means he has now become available to you. Not that anybody before could not be saved, but Jesus came to be the means of their availability of these people's salvation. Here, you can trust in me. You know, there are new releases that people talk about with certain things. You know, in the computer world, their software, there's going to be the new release, and they talk about it before it's released, but this is coming out, and you can read about it, and you can be explained, and there's demonstrations, and you wait for it. You wait for it for a while, but technically, they're made available to the public on a specific time. You've got to wait for this. You've got to wait for it, and then it comes. They say, coming soon. There's a grand opening. Only 12 days left. And then the grand opening comes, and a big sign says, today. Now available. Available to all mankind What a free gift of peace. Available when? Today. You say, but Pastor, this was talking about a day a long time ago that was much before us. You're right. It was on that day. And on that day, Jesus Christ came and it was open to you that you could have salvation. You could be delivered from your sin. You could be delivered from the struggles. God is available to you. He's available to bring peace to you, to help you, to deliver you. Whether you're unsaved or saved, He's available to you. When? Today. Today. Today He is available. The question for us is, what would you do with Jesus? What would you do with the one that's made Himself available, that's given Himself, that has done all the work for you on the cross and says, here I am. Come unto me. What would you do with Jesus? You know, I want you to think about this. One would have expected the masses to come around Jesus. One would have expected the whole Jewish culture to surround Jesus because finally He is here. You know what's interesting to me, and I read this week in my study, and I don't even know if it's studying for this or studying for tonight or just pure curiosity, but I was studying the Christmas story this week, and it was amazing. And I don't even know where it was because I wasn't planning on saying this morning, but what's amazing is that we have shepherds who heard the news, and what did the shepherds do? They came. You have the wise men later that heard the news, and they traveled from afar, and they didn't get there when Jesus was a baby, but I'll tell you what, they got there later. But what did they do when they heard the news and they were given a star? We're going to go see. But you know what the religious leaders of the Jewish religion did when they heard? There's a comment. Again, it's a statement in one of the Gospels that says, you know what? They just said the fact, you know, that there's supposed to be, you know, a Savior that's born. And they did nothing to go and investigate. They just left it there. You would have thought that the Savior for this specific group of people, you would have thought that the masses would have come and said, listen, this individual has come to bring us peace and deliverance. But they had no understanding from him. They just left him there. You would have thought that he would have been crowded, but they didn't. And the Scriptures teach us that he came into his own and his own received him not. They rejected him and they said, no. Can you imagine an individual showing up offering peace? I want to tell you, the person of peace that came to deliver the world is not coming. He already came. Did everybody hear that? The peace factor has already come a long time ago. Jesus already came. There is no peace left to come. Jesus has already come, and it is not until we as mankind would accept Him, and it is not until the Jewish culture and religion will accept Him, until they will experience peace. We'll never experience peace except for Jesus Christ and apart from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to bring that peace. How sad it was that they rejected Him. But I love verse 12 in John chapter 1, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you come to Him today? You're unsaved. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ. Would you come to Him today? He came. Jesus came to save you. He came to save you. All of you who are here, He came to save you. You, the sinner. Christian, Jesus came to save you. On that day, He came to deliver you from the struggles that you go through. He came to deliver you from that sin. He came to deliver you from that worry and fear. He came to deliver you from that habit. He came to deliver you from those thoughts and those things that you look at. He came to deliver you from that. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to tell you something. People used to worship on the Sabbath day, and it was a day of rest. We don't have a Sabbath day anymore, and we have a day of rest. But I want to tell you, you know what that rest is? We rest in the person of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Honestly, I don't mean to break any bubbles, and it doesn't mean that we should go out there doing all kinds of things on Sunday, but it doesn't have a whole lot to do about resting on Sunday. Our rest is complete in Jesus Christ already. And you can rest because He's done it all. Enjoy the rest that He gives. And He came so that you, Christian, can rest in Him. To rest in Him. Practical. How can we take this message in our last few minutes? First of all, if you're unsaved, you need to come unto Him. I want to tell you something, and He'll give you the salvation that He came to do. He came to seek and to save you that which was lost. I want to urge you, if you're here and you've never made that transaction, it's not a work. It's an acknowledgement that He's the one. And I'm placing my faith and trust in Him and not my works anymore. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you've never done that, today is the day of salvation, the Lord says. Now is the time for acceptance. Would you do it today? But you're here as a Christian and you find yourself defeated with those things that Jesus came to save you from. You're still there and you say, there's no hope for me. I say, Christian, there is hope for you, and you can experience the deliverance today, and you don't have to wait another day. How can I experience this today? How can I practically take the message, for unto us, unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord? How can we practice this? I'll tell you very practically. It's three principles that we live it out. Every Christian is responsible. Everybody listen, every Christian, no matter what services you come to, every Christian is responsible to discover God's truth. We fall short if we will not discover God's truth from His Word. Discovering God's truth. That means on a daily basis, we need to go to the Word and we need to discover, what does God say to me? That means we need to show up to church and we need to discover, what does God have for me? By the way, I came across a tremendous passage of Scripture in Psalm just in the last, maybe it was yesterday, and I read it and it was tremendous. You say, haven't you read that before? I probably have read it a ton of times, but it was something that just... It was amazing. And the point, and I'm not going to give you it all because I'm going to preach it soon. I was talking about the importance of God giving His truth in church. And I've done a lot of preaching on that, but it's going to come out again sometime whenever God says. But I'll tell you, it's important that when God gives us opportunity to discover His truth, we've got to discover it. We've got to see what He says. Practically, this is getting into God's Word. Being in church, studying the Word of God, discovering His truth for our lives. Practically, it's obeying His truth. It's taking what God tells me to do, and it's getting victory in His truth. It's God told me to do this, and I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to do it. It's practicing what we learn through the truth. And by the way, if we don't discover, then we cannot be the Christian that God wants us to be. If we're not going to obey, then we cannot also be the Christian that God wants us to be. Obedience to His Word. Obedience to His truth on a daily basis, through the week, not just on Sunday. Thirdly, then it's sharing His truth with other people. God never intended or meant His truth to stay within us. Never. He meant it to flow through us so that we can share it with somebody else. Jesus came to deliver you. How? Accept Him. Get in His Word. Discover it. Obey it. Tell other people. It's what He came for. He came for that. It's what Jesus came for. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Father, I thank You. I thank You so much that You meant to come and deliver us from our sin. You meant to come and deliver us from the things that shackle us and bind us up. Thank You for Jesus who came unto us, me who has nothing to offer. Poor, wicked, wretched sinner, untalented. And yet You love me. You love these people unto us. God, thank you. Thank you that came to be our Savior, to deliver us. Lord, I pray that if there are people this morning, maybe those who have never trusted in you, God, I pray that today they would trust you. Maybe those who have trusted you for their salvation but are not trusting you for deliverance from their sin. They've had this besetting sin that's been so long and they've not gotten victory over it. God, I pray that today they would claim it and practice it on a daily basis, discovering, obeying, and sharing your truth. God, help us. God, help us. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. What will you do with Jesus?